Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, good chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms, and some of those storms could be severe. We'll have a high of about 77. Right now in Kenosha, 69 degrees, 71 in Burlington, Milwaukee 69, also 69 in Racine. At least two arrests made early this morning, a male and a juvenile female, before dawn in reference to a break into the complex for the Manheim-Milwaukee Metro Auto Auction along the west side of I-94 in Racine County. Sheriff's deputies joined initially in the response by Caledonia and Mount Pleasant Police, plus the State Patrol, with Franklin PD arriving later. Other suspects reported on the grounds apparently got away. One of several vehicles started up inside the complex, discovered by the apparent entry and exit point. The ongoing investigation has included canine tracking both within and away from that site. Also this morning, fire caused significant damage to a home at 1725 Edgewood Avenue on Racine's north side, from where the occupants are reportedly on vacation. Police were first to arrive. They confirmed it was an active fire. Then the first city crews on scene indicated lots of smoke. At different points of the response, the incident commander ordered crews out of that two-story home for safety reasons, the structural integrity of the flooring also becoming an issue. The Racine Fire Bells offered assistance with a rotation of the crews, and an investigator called in to determine how that fire began. Friends of a Kenosha Unified Indian Trail High School student found murdered in Mount Pleasant last month are convinced her death is somehow related to somebody she met on the internet. It's a theory to which Mount Pleasant police have offered no comment other than to say the investigation continues. Kara Farmer, a classmate to Olivia McKay, among those who went to a vigil at Kenosha's Lakefront and Kennedy Park last night. McKay would have been a senior this fall, Farmer saying that she and Olivia were in the same academic house at Indian Trail.
Well, Olivia was like really shy, like kind of kept to herself, but like if you started talking to her, she was a great person to talk to.
McKay seen leaving Lou Perini's groceries July the 23rd. The next day, her body was found off Louis Sorensen Road. Yesterday at Racine's Lincoln Park, family and friends of 16-year-old drowning victim Amari Griffin Brewer joined by members of the community, a vigil at which numerous balloons were released in his memory. Griffin Brewer drowning last Sunday evening while swimming with friends near Zoo Beach. Racine County, one of 33 counties in the state of Wisconsin, recognized for excellence administering the Wisconsin Shares Child Care Subsidy Program. The honor given out by Department of Health Services Secretary Eloise Anderson. It's for achievement at a very high level of accuracy in the authorization and eligibility determinations for the program. Kenosha County's Medical Examiner's Office and the Kenosha County Division of Health have both put out a warning. This after a string of 10 opioid-related deaths occurred in just the last month. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
While the cause of the deaths won't be certain until the results of toxicology tests are received, all of the cases involve the suspected use of opioid drugs, including heroin. So far this year, there have been 25 confirmed deaths due to opioid toxicity, 8 of them involving fentanyl. Last year, 54 deaths were attributed to the use of opioids. In a news release, Kenosha County Medical Examiner Patrice Hall says the suspected and confirmed toxicity deaths have occurred in all age groups, economic levels, and all areas of Kenosha County. Information about prevention, treatment, and other resources is available from the Kenosha County Division of Health. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
A March trial date has now been set for the woman accused of murdering her ex-boyfriend during an Independence Day fireworks display in Kenosha last year. 51-year-old Donna Matthews accused of first-degree intentional homicide for the death of Michael Gahan, whose body was found several weeks after he had been shot to death, according to police. In court yesterday, the date of March the 5th was set for Matthews' trial. Her brother, Derek, is scheduled to be going on trial later this month on charges related to that crime. The race for mayor in the city of Racine with a special election this fall is now officially underway. The Common Council approving the schedule of October the 17th for the general election, the primary September the 19th. Candidates as of today allowed to circulate nominating papers for submission by 5 p.m. August the 22nd. Alderman Henry Perez, though, spoke out against it, noting the potential $200,000 cost. Good reason to wait until next April's regular election schedule.
I understand that we want to have a mayor in place, and I don't see the necessity of having to immediately have a mayor when we have a scheduled election coming up next year already that this could possibly be incorporated into. I know it seems difficult, and most people say, well, we need the leadership, and I get all that, and that's understandable, but it seems like an unnecessary waste of $200,000.
Alderman John Tate II noted the process is already underway from the most recent discussion they had about the time frame.
We said we're going to have a set date, and now we have candidates who are already operating under a specific framework, and it'll be wrong and unfair for us to say, nope, we changed our minds. We came together, we had a robust discussion about when the date's going to be. It makes sense that we stick with that, and as Alderman Lemke has said, the people of the 10th deserve representation. The city deserves a chance to say, you know, who's going to be our mayor for the remainder of this term.
Alderman Shakur and Perez voting against that schedule. Mayor Dennis Weiser indicated that he would have supported the recommended schedule if he had voting authority. The council, with one exception, voting in favor of a consultant-recommended city employee compensation plan, which provides initial pay increases for all employees plus additional increases with accrued experience, costing $116,000 this fall, $1.64 million next year, and up to $5.1 million by 2023 to come out of city reserves, but with aldermen voting each budget session versus an automatic increase. The only no vote, Alderman Sandy Weiner said the employees deserve the raises. But she had concerns regarding sustainability of funding those raises from information that she said the finance office and the former administrator had provided, showing significantly lower reserve levels.
It doesn't sound like much, $117,000 this year out of reserve. We can certainly afford that, just like we can afford $200,000 for an election. Another $1.6 million out of reserve, we can afford that too. But I certainly didn't think we could afford that, either financially or percentage-wise, based on the numbers that were provided in the last budget proposals that were submitted to the council.
Meanwhile, Alderman Ray DeHaan said the city is losing good workers without a better salary structure.
A lot of these folks haven't had a raise since 2008. Come on, folks, everything goes up since then, and they have not got a raise. And so, consequently, what they're experiencing, they're going someplace else.
Finance and Budget Director Dave Brown saying that any unassigned general fund balance exceeding 25% for subsequent years will be going into a wage and benefit provision account to cover those increases. There were three citizens and four separate comments at last night's Racine Council meeting, one of them surrounding Foxconn. Community activist and Jobs for All champion Alfonso Gardner talking about the possible formation of a Foxconn community employment initiative, since he said everyone is paying taxes if this thing goes.
It's up to this body here, the county body, our people in the state that represent us, to make sure that this happens. Everybody needs jobs. Everybody should have the same opportunity to get a job. But if everybody is locked out because our politicians are not fighting for that, then there's something wrong. Now, I don't care where they landed, in Kenosha or Racine, I'm still going to fight for jobs.
Nick Dembski talked about a proposed resolution regarding action on climate change, and there was Mercedes Denzeletta talking about the city's walk signals. She's not happy with those. That Assembly Committee on Jobs and the Economy will be holding that public hearing you've been hearing about this afternoon on the incentive package for Foxconn. Racine County Executive Jonathan Delagrave and Kenosha County Executive Jim Cruiser scheduled to testify during the invited list guest that's going at 1:30 this afternoon. Around 4:30 or so, that's when the public may be allowed to talk. One representative on that committee, by the way, is Kenosha's Todd Onstadt. And an appeal of the decision to allow Waukesha to draw water out of Lake Michigan has been dropped by the Great Lakes St. Lawrence Cities Initiative, which will instead collaborate with the Great Lakes St. Lawrence River Basin Water Resources Council to try and change the process for evaluating future diversion applications. The new head of the Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Initiative, of course, former Racine Mayor John Dickert, says the changes would include more public input from both sides of the border. Despite the decision to end the Waukesha Water Appeal, Dickert says the organization, his organization, will keep fighting to protect the Great Lakes.
Because our mayors know that the water is their identity. It's what they're all about. It's what makes them who they are. So we're going to continue to fight on these issues to make sure that we protect, you know, the Great Lakes for our kids and our grandkids, because this is an incredibly fragile system. And you found out in Flint, in Toledo, just how fragile a system this was. So we don't think that you can go light on any of these issues. We think you have to fight on them.
Waukesha has planned to divert Lake Michigan water to that city to replace its current municipal supply. It includes returning the water to the lake via the Root River right through Racine County. WRJN.com is our webpage, where we keep our newscasts in the local news section. And throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.